Well, this Christmas evening, let's follow the wise men to Bethlehem. You may want to turn with me to our reading, Matthew chapter 2. And we read chapter 2, verse 2. The wise men ask the question, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." And this evening, we just have three very simple things to say. And the first is this. Three kings. Now we read the account. Are they kings? No, there's no mention of kings. They're wise men or magi. Are there three of them? No, we're not told how many there are, only that they brought three gifts. Do we know their names? No, we're not told even that. Or do we know where they came from? No, only that they came from the east. Did their arrival coincide with the shepherds? No, there's no knock at the door at the stable and, oh, it's the wise men. We're told, verse 11, and when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. So it's a young child, not a baby, and it's a house, not an outhouse. Or do we know anything about the star? Or why they connected it with Jesus' birth? Or how they followed it? The answer again is no. Well, are we told anything about them? Yes. One thing. Matthew clears the table of distractions and he focuses upon the one thing that matters. Which is, well, verse 11 tells us, and when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The wise men came to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, distractions. Are you distracted? Now, how we hitched a ride with the wise men on their way to Jerusalem, we would have found a city bustling with activity. Jerusalem. Eating, drinking, buying, selling, there'd be births, marriages, divorces, deaths, politics, gossip, religious festivals, theological debates. But the wise men refused to be distracted. Only one thing mattered. Verse 2, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? Now, we haven't turned up at Jerusalem. But London is a city that's bustling with activity, particularly this time of year. There's ice rinks, pantomimes, films, Christmas trees, lights, turkey dinners, family get-togethers, there's eating, drinking, giving, receiving, and of course there's the Boxing Day sales. Maybe you've had a look at what's on the television tomorrow. There's Elf, Wizard of Oz, Poirot, a whole lot of things about Jane Austen, there's Bourne, there's Match of the Day. Something for everyone. But hang on, slow down. Whoa, 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 whoa. There's something bigger than all of these things. Something more important, which in the hubbub and bustle and busyness and all the things that are going on, we're in danger of missing. Only one question matters. Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? Are you seeking for the Lord Jesus Christ? So three kings. Well, point number two, two kings. Now, when news of the wise men's inquiry reaches King Herod, we read that he's troubled. In fact, soon he has murder on his mind. We read verse 7, Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. When you find him, let me know that I can go and worship him." But it's a deceit, isn't it? We know what he's up to. Soon he'll massacre all the children in and around Bethlehem of two and under. He wants the child dead. Now why? It's only a child born to a peasant girl. And even if this child is the king of the Jews, by the time he grows up, old Herod, he's not a young man, old Herod will be dead. And you're bound to say, well, Herod, what's your problem? Why are you so irrational? Well, it's not just that Herod hears of a rival king. This is Christ the King. We're told, verse 4, and when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So he's Christ the King. Well, so what? Well, it's more than a name. It's a title. It's a title which the Bible loads up and packs in meaning. Because the Christ is the promised one. The promised one who's coming will restore a broken relationship. A broken relationship between God and humankind. And this king will reign at God's right hand. And he will be the visible representative of the invisible God. And he's the Son of God. And is clothed with authority and glory and power. And this is the Christ who we're told has authority over the nations. And he's the one who brings the blessing of God to the families of the earth. And he's heir. He's heir to a kingdom which covers everything. He's heir to the universe. And his kingdom will have no end. He's the ultimate king to whom every knee one day will bow. He's the king who will destroy all who oppose him and whose rule will usher in a golden age where sin and death and the curse will be no more. And the earth will be remade and renewed. And the creation which is weary and dying and in bondage and in futility will be released from those things. A reign where peace and laughter and love will cover the earth. And where God and people will again live together, just as they did in the beginning in the Garden of Eden, where the prophet Habakkuk tells us, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. That's who the Christ is. The Christ who will rebuild the bridge between heaven and earth, between God and us. Now, if like Herod, you're not on good terms with God, if you want to do your own thing, accountable to no one, and of course Christ the King is a threat which Herod wants to remove. There can only be one king as far as Herod's concerned. That's got to be me. My friend, what of you? The Bible tells us that we're born into this world rebels against God. So I don't want to talk about Jesus, I want to talk about me. When the family photographs come out, all the school photographs come out, what do you automatically do? You wait to see where you are. Because that's the most important thing. That's a subject we all warm to. Me. And so I don't want my life revolving around him. I want to be at the center of things. That's my default position. That's my factory setting. Which is why news of Christ the King upsets us all. I don't want to worship him. I don't want to bow and scrape and fall before him and do what he says. Christ the King upsets us all. We're all offended by Jesus and his commands to love him and serve him and obey him. They feel like a direct challenge. They feel like a threat. Because in the lives that we live, we say, there can only be one king. And that's me. So go away. by factory setting. Sometimes without even knowing why. Christ gets close and I don't want to know. Go away. Maybe you've been doing that for years and you don't actually know why you do it. But slow down. My grandfather used to protest that he hated garlic. In the days when men used to say, "Gietje." So you mention garlic and you get a "Gietje." So one Christmas, my mum put out some garlic bread. And he couldn't get enough. He was stuffing his face with garlic bread. And he said, "Have you got any more?" He said, "It's lovely. What is it?" And she said, "It's garlic bread. But I don't like garlic." It's a silly illustration, isn't it? But do you get the point? We can reject a Christ we know nothing about. Which is why the Bible says, slow down. It's a lovely verse. It says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Don't spit out what you've never tasted. Don't let that factory setting, that inward bias, stop you. Don't let other people influence you. Find out for yourself. Taste and see. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the truth. No room for another king. But what if there was a king to end all kings? The King of Love, whose name really is Wonderful. A king who is the answer to all our questions. One who is the answer to all our searchings. The absolute, the ultimate. What if there was such a king? And through knowing him, I'm put right with God. And those dirty secrets I have are washed clean away. And I can be forgiven. What if there's one who puts me right with God and conquers me, not with threats and bullying and shouting at me, but conquers me in his grace, and who takes that broken factory setting and changes it to what it should be, so that I find in him my all in all? Wouldn't he be worth knowing? Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? So we've had three kings, two kings, and we close with the King of Kings. So if I'm to stop my knee-jerk response to Jesus the Christ, what's the right way to respond? Well, let's follow the wise men, isn't it? Do you find the response of the chief priests and the scribes interesting? Because we're told in verses 5 and 6 they know where the Christ is to be born. It's interesting, isn't it? They know a great deal. They know where he's to be born, and yet they do absolutely nothing. What they know doesn't change how they live. And my friend, we can be very religious. We can know our Bibles. We can belt out the carols. We can know many things about the king. Maybe tonight, nothing that's been said is strange to you, unusual to you. You know it all. And yet, for all that, like these religious men, let it pass you by. Maybe this Christmas it's time to break a habit. To break the habit of a lifetime. And to follow the wise men. Now it's Christmas Day. Hasn't snowed. No white Christmas. But do you remember the excitement of that first snowflake? And as you watch, and it falls silently to the ground and you know that soon the air is going to be filled with millions of snowflakes dancing, twirling, spinning, pirouetting. And the first snowflake announces the coming of the many. And what have we here? These wise men, where are they from? Well, they're from outside Israel. They're Gentiles. They come from the nations. And it's the first snowflake. And soon people will come in their millions to adore the Christ. He's the one who will draw the nations to himself. So tonight, why don't you come? Why don't you follow the wise men? They travelled a great distance. And maybe this evening that's your starting point. You've just taken the first few steps. This is the first time in your life you've taken Jesus seriously. Well, don't stop. They had little light to go by. Just a star, just a pinprick. But the light that they had, they followed. And again, that's maybe where you are. The light that you have is small. It's just a pinprick. And maybe for the first time in your life, the Bible is beginning to make sense. It's beginning to yield its message to you. You begin to think, actually, there's something really important here, which I've never really thought of before. But I know it's important, and I see, but I don't see. And I want to know more. Well, don't stop. Follow the light that God has given to you. Go further. And these wise men, they weren't afraid to ask questions, were they? Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? They're quite happy to make a nuisance of themselves, to go and ask kings and whoever to find the answer. Will you ask? Never be afraid to ask about Jesus Christ. Never be afraid to ask the Bible questions. Never be afraid to go to Christians, those who know him, and put them under the spotlight. Make it difficult for them. Bring those skeptical things you have, those questions you have, those things you think they're not going to answer, those things that you can't make sense of, those things you think disprove it all. Bring the questions. Come. And maybe in amongst it all say, well, how can I know him? How can I find him? Bring your doubts, bring it all, but come. Don't stop. They refused to stop until they found him. And when they found him, was it worth it? All that effort, all that time, all that energy expended, was it worth it? They'd given themselves to seeking after Christ. Was it worth it? What did they do? They fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So don't stop. Because if you find him, you know the search is over. And as you worship him, and at your feet pour your treasures, your gifts, your all, then like the wise men, you'll discover a joy so strong, you'll have no words to describe it. It's lovely, verse 10, the way it's put. When they see the star, they rejoice with exceedingly great joy. It doesn't really quite make sense, does it? How can you rejoice with joy? You rejoice, don't you? How can you rejoice with joy? It's saying that their joy is raised to beyond words. My friend, will you follow in the steps of the wise men, and come and worship him? Well, the wise men were directed from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. As we close this evening, the Bible directs us from Bethlehem to Jerusalem. The scene in verse 11 is delightful, isn't it? Jesus in his mother's arms. 3 decades later, his life will come to a violent end outside the walls of Jerusalem. Jesus was nailed to a cross, and over his head was written, "The King of the Jews." The King has come, and come to die. I must never forget that I have rebelled against the King of Kings. And for every act of rebellion, there is a price to pay. Eternal punishment. But the King upon the cross, he dies the punishing death that rebels deserve to die. So that all who come to him, all who bow the knee, all who trust in him, they enjoy peace with God and the forgiveness of sins, and they become citizens. They belong to the kingdom of God. On this Christmas evening, will you come and bow the knee to the King of Kings? Wise men still seek Christ. Bow down before him. Love and adore him. His name is Wonderful, Jesus the Lord.